All right, little Bradley and Frankie. Bradley has surgery this week, so be praying for him. He's got dental surgery. Little fella, he can't open his mouth very wide, and they can't give him an IV. So pray for little Bradley. He's going to have an operation this week, and they're trying to help his mouth. He has a tooth hurting him. They got to get to it. So, Randall Hill from the Sun News, who took the pictures when Bradley and Frankie were here, that picture he took of Ann clapping and little Bradley clapping his arms, that won first place in a 7th state area journalistic photograph thing. And that's good. And he's going to enter it in the national contest. So that will be nice, and that will be good. That's good. I knew that was some kind of picture when I saw it. I said, boy, that's good. We had the funeral yesterday in Norwood, North Carolina, for Susie, Sandra Schwartz's sister. And it was a nice funeral, if there are such things. And we're going to have a memorial for her the 16th right here after services. So be planning to see Sandra and tell her how sorry you are. She lost her sister in Barbara. So, let's see. Bradley walked into church Wednesday night, got to a little hill. A little girl helped push him up, and then he took off. Yeah, that's good. Good little boy. Just love him. Now, we've got Ann Vereen is in the hospital. Very serious. Ann generally sits right over here, and they found she had cancer. And they have done an exploratory surgery and found out that it is treatable. So that's good. And so think about her. As a matter of fact, it would be so nice if you'd take time to send her a card. She's at Grand Strand Hospital, room 1202. That's easy enough to remember. 1202, 1202. And if you've been in the hospital, you know it's a lonely feeling. And you wonder if anybody's thinking about you. And if you'd be kind enough just to send her a card today or tomorrow and let that get to her. And for her to get about 100 cards in there would make her day, I'm sure. SOS services will be held here. There'll generally be two or three other, whatever it is that they do around. But make sure the people know we're going to be here. Because sometimes they get it confused and end up somewhere they shouldn't be. So during SOS, if you're not here, you're at the wrong place. The envelopes for the dog. You couldn't do that this week. You working on that, Phil? Where's Phil? You working on that? Phil's going to have us envelopes for the people who are training the dog for Bradley, the man, nice man who was here. And we'll have envelopes for them. And that dog costs $20,000 to $30,000 to train. And he does it as a free Christian thing to do. But we need to help that. That is our little boy and his little dog. And we need to help that. And so if we can send a few dollars a week out of your income. We have people who are having jobs go away and houses go away and wives go away and husbands go away. A lot of sadness, but just pray for the people here without calling names. We'll pray for them, and in the end, we win. I read the back of the book. Sometimes it's hard to get through the middle stuff, but we will make it. Anybody here for the first time visiting with us? A couple of people. There you are. Thank you. Appreciate you coming, and we're glad you're here. So we ended up with a good crowd. That's good, didn't we? Everybody's here this morning. That's wonderful. Thank you for coming. This is voluntary, and you don't have to come, and I realize that. But it's so good that you can. Yeah, honey? Yeah, we'll, after SOS, don't get confused. When this closes, H. Lee has another place. You know where the Bullinose Lighthouse is. You can't miss it. It's the next red light, or green, depending the time of day. Across the street, about three buildings down, is the arcade, Cherry Grove Arcade. And H. Lee's going to let us use that all winter. He said, I'll just give you the key, and make yourself at home. How nice of him to do that. So we'll take care of that. Anything else that we need? Bill's wife, Miss Santa Claus, where about Wilmington? New Hanover. What is her proper name as they'll have her listed? Evelyn Davis, isn't it? Yeah, Evelyn Davis. If you could send her a card, I'll have to go see Evelyn. Sure will. And what did they say was wrong? Heart, a little heart. Having a bypass. Okay, good. Well, then, yeah. Yeah. Jennifer is Lester's wife. Yeah, Dick Lester's. And she's ill. Gallbladder, and she needs prayer. So get all these down. Understand. Ask Bradley. God answers prayer, I promise you. And he said, all I did was go to the beach. Ended up with two arms, two legs, a wagon, and a dog. So he wants to come back. I said, let's see what else they got down there. Bless his little heart. How precious. And because of you, that little boy walks. So you be kind to yourself. And pat yourself on the back. Because of you, that little boy walks. And that ought to make you feel good if we never do anything else for anybody else. I keep his picture in my briefcase, and anytime I limp or have a hard time during the day, and it's like Jim lost his business in a fire, and we just get out a picture of Bradley and look at it and say, you know, things aren't too bad. Things aren't too bad. But we'll help that little boy. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to help him, and I hope you will too. So let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful day that you have given us, that we can come and worship you in it. Isn't it good that we can know the Creator and can see his creation as we preach his gospel? What a wonderful, wonderful combination of things. We ask that you be with all those among us who are ill and having hard times financially and other things, and their families that are upset, but let us hold on to you and the blessed hope that we know that all in all is you. And we might not like the highway, but we know we have a safe destination, and we shall arrive and get the journey done safely, carried along by you. Sometimes it gets too hard for us to bear, but Lord Jesus, we know we can lean on the everlasting arms and be peaceful and restful and know that all is well as long as we're in you. As forever, move me from this place that you be heard. Anything I say that should be forgotten will be. Anything that should be remembered should be. And if there be one among us today who knows you not as Savior, may this be the first day of the rest of their eternal life in knowing you as Lord and Master. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. This morning we're going to turn to the book of Mark, if you have a Bible with you, Mark 10, 46 through 52 is one of my favorite Bible characters, blind Bartimaeus. And we'll read it, and then we shall expound what we read. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, speaking of Jesus, of course, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside of a highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. So this morning we're going to let you learn how to see through the eyes of a blind man. Blind people are quite interesting. Some people think their other senses develop more fully when you go blind or you're deaf. That's not true. You just start using them more. The ability to do it's already there. We had a friend in Greenville at the post office, Fred. I remember as a little boy, Fred ran the concession stand with the candies and newspapers, and blind people used to be able to do that till our wise government decided they're better sitting at home doing nothing. And he'd come in, my dad would come in with me and walk down those long halls of the post office, and they'd be marble, because they were generally the courthouse too. And you'd hear the clicking of the heels, clicking of the feet, and we'd get within 15 or 20 feet of Fred's booth, and he'd say, "Dr. Greenway, how are you today?" He knew from those footsteps, and he had everybody's footsteps memorized, and he could see with his ears because he had to get a new way to see. And we're going to learn this morning that we can learn to see a lot of things from blind Bartimaeus. He was a blind man. In verse 46, it said he was in Jericho. The meaning of Jericho is cursed. It was a cursed land, and Jesus had gone into the cursed land to do his healing and to preach his gospel, and that is what he does today. You're not going to get a whole lot of people repenting, helping anybody, doing anything when you're in an $8 million church and powder puff posteriors on plush pews. It just ain't going to happen. Because when you build a big church like that and you put up your brass and glass, you might as well have a 50-foot neon sign blinking on top of it saying, "If you can't afford to be here, please don't come." And if you don't believe that, just get ragged, put on some ragged clothes, and don't take a bath 3 or 4 days, and don't shave, and head down there and watch how you're treated. The message has been forgotten, and the purpose has been forgotten. So we're going to learn from Jesus going to Jericho, the most cursed place on earth. He went there to preach. And he went there and he saw blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the side of the road begging, which tells us a couple of things. First of all, tells us he was poor, had no way to make an income. He was helpless. He couldn't have gotten to work if he had a job. He was just blind, naked, poor, ragged, and in need of help. Sounds a whole lot like me and you. You see, the greatest need in Bartimaeus' life was that he could see the light. And that's the greatest need of you. Some people say, "Boy, if I could just change houses, or had a new car, if I could get a better job, if I. And they're still dwelling in darkness. And the greatest need of a blind man is to have light. And the greatest need of a spiritual blind man is nothing material. It's that he sees that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and finally moves from the darkness to the light. So he's begging here, and verse 47 said, he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming. He heard the crowd talking. They saw the parade, as it were, going down the street, and the people began to talk. "Well, there he is. You can hear him. So I've heard about him. He's healed the sick before, and they say he's raised the dead." And they were talking about all the stories they knew. And blind Bartimaeus, you can see he's sitting. He can't stand. He's sitting in the crowds around him, and nobody's going to see him. He's hidden from view, and he's in darkness himself, and he's even more helpless. But when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. He began to call the name of Jesus. He said, "Jesus, he said, thou son of David," appointed him his royal title, understood his lineage, understood who was coming by. And here was this blind man just out of a hole in the ground with people around him, begins to cry out and says, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me." When he heard the name of Jesus, the politicians didn't matter anymore. The Bible says that many of them said, "Now, wait a minute. Hold your peace," it says. "Shut that beggar up. We're trying to be decent here. We're trying to have something going on. And this man has come to town with his people, and he brought a crowd with him. And this is the biggest deal we've ever had here. And this ragged idiot over here is going to ruin it for us. It's not politically correct. Son, when you get hurting, you holler. These kids know when you hurt, you holler till somebody comes. And when you blind and you know Jesus is passing by, it's time to call on him. And I don't care who doesn't like it. And it doesn't matter if it isn't politically correct and the boss doesn't like it and your wife doesn't like it. And the situation you're in doesn't like it. You get yourself, when you find yourself in darkness, to the light as quickly as possible. And you call on the Lord Jesus to help you, because I'm going to tell you, that is your only help on this earth. Everybody else, given the proper motive, will turn their back on you and bite you. Everybody. He's the only one you can depend on. He's the only one you can call on when you're in total darkness. He's the only one that looks at you in your darkness and your pity and your poverty and just waves all that aside and says, I love you because you are you. No other reason. I want nothing from you. I don't want a report on you. I don't need a credit report. I don't need anything. I love you because you are you, and that's what I do. I said, what a God. What a God. And some of us get our position in life going. We start heading the wrong way, and we get ourselves in the position he's in, and we have no one to call on, do we? We've called on the friends and wore them out. Now they run when they see us coming. The family left us long time ago. The uncles and aunts and all that, they won't have anything to do with us. And here we sit in virtual loneliness among everybody in the country. And there we're sitting blind and ragged and in need. And we don't know what to do. Don't call the lady on TV with the tarot cards. She can't help you. Do you know fools call her to the tune of about $3 million a week? I mean, supposedly intelligent, sensible people are calling that idiot, and she's not even answering the phone, and taking her information and then acting upon it, sometimes with every dime they own, giving advice to leave their families. Give them advice. I mean, if she had any knowledge of the future, why would she be on TV, son? She'd be in the lottery line. She'd have the magic numbers. That'd be the end of it. She'd never have to work again. Don't be crazy. And those people live and take advantage of the poor mentally, the poor spiritually. Calling out to somebody's going to light a candle in your name. Give me the candle. I'll teach you how to use the candle and get you working. So you've got to say, if I'm hurting and blind, I need to get to where? I need to get to the light. Well, here's Bartimaeus. He hears the name of Jesus. He said, that's the Son of David. I've heard him say, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. I'll find out today if he is. Called his name. Shut up, boy. He called even the more, the Bible said. Even the louder. Jesus, Son of David, help me. I need you. I am blind and ragged. Please. And what did Jesus do? I love the 49th verse. It, and Jesus stood still. The parade stopped. And Jesus is deity. And here's God Almighty, manifested in the flesh, and the cry of someone in need seeking mercy will get the attention of God. Boy, that's good to know. Sometimes folks can't help that you call, it too busy. Nowhere to turn. Isn't it good to know you can turn in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I'm at the end of the rope and there's not even enough room to tie a knot and hold on. I'm at the end. I don't know what else can go wrong. But if it does, I probably won't even notice so much has gone wrong. But I need your help. I want to be obedient to you. I'm calling on you. Please show me your light and show me your mercy. You pray that prayer, and I will promise you on the authority of the Word of God, things will turn around. They might turn around, not turn around by Tuesday, but they'll turn around. And look what happened to him. They said, be of good comfort. Now all the people that were telling him to shut up are going to try to get on the good side of Jesus again. Isn't that funny how that works? Nobody wants to help you when you're in need until they find out your uncle owns the whatever and he owns the mill and everybody's... Now, oh yeah, well we meant to help him. Boy, yeah, Bartimaeus, he's always been one of my favorite people. You lying hypocrite. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about the Pharisees who want to nitpick. Don't worry about the two religious who just want to show their robes and pray on the street corners and show their religion and wear it on their cuff and don't have it in their heart. Don't you worry about that. Don't go to the counselors on the phones on TV. You come straight to me, he said. Open my arms where you can get there, and I had them nailed there where they'd stay open. And if you need me, you come unto me at any time for any problem, because no problem's too big for me. And here comes Bartimaeus. And look what he did. Casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Very powerful lines. You see, his garment was all he owned. He didn't have a home and a car and a job and clothes. He had an outer garment to wear over his underclothes. And that's all that blind man had. And when it was time to go to Jesus, he cast away his garment as if to say, I have complete faith in whatever's going to happen next. This is all I have, and I'm going to throw it away because I'm going to start completely over with him. Bartimaeus understood the gospel. That I don't need anything but him. I don't need anybody but Jesus. And I'll be seeing in a minute, and I may be naked almost, but I'll be able to see and I'll start over and I'll show you something. So he cast away his garment without another thought, rose upon his feet, still couldn't see, and made his way to Jesus through the crowd, pushed them out of the way. Still in darkness. Said, well, if I could see, then I might go to church. No, you got to go to church, then you'll see. Well, once I get the gist of thing, I'll start looking in the scripture. No, you start looking in the scripture, then you get the gist of things. That's why I tell you over and over, you come and sit and listen, not because of me, but because of this book. You come and sit and listen long enough, and I promise you the light will come on. And it may be just once you have to hear it. It may be 1,000 times. But you come and listen. And something's going to strike you one morning. And you're going to see where he finally got to me. I knew he'd get to me. He got to me. That's what I need to do. Cast away all care. Forget about my social standing. Forget about the educated. Forget about the advisors. Forget about the money bracket I'm in. I'm just going to turn my back on all that. And I'm going to Jesus. And once you do that, the light comes on and things change. Jesus said, and what can I do for you, son? What wilt thou that I should do unto these? The English words, but Jesus wasn't English. He said, what can I do for you, boy? The blind man said, Lord, acknowledged who he was. I want to receive my sight. You see, he knew he could have asked the Lord anything. It's a good time for you to contemplate that and say, boy, if I had one request I could make of the Lord, what would it be? If he said, I'll give you anything you want, what do you want? What would you say? Well, I'd like that house. I'd like that car. I'd like that job. I'd like $9 million. I'd like ba 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 ba. Now, here's a blind man, a beggar, with nothing. Just threw his clothing away, standing there naked in darkness, except for his underwear, so to speak. And he's standing in front of the Lord of glory, and the Lord has said, in essence, I'm going to give you whatever you want. Just name it. And blind Bartimaeus physically knew what you need to understand spiritually. He asked for the one thing he knew he needed. He needed sight. He needed light. He needed to go from darkness unto light, and understood there was only one way, and that was to go unto he who claims to be the light of the world and stand before him and say, I'm in darkness and I need light. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, son. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately received his sight. And I said, isn't that wonderful? Because one morning it's going to happen to you. All those things you think are making you happy, and they hadn't worked in 50 years. I don't know why you think they're going to work now. Been there, done that. And all the things, the television and the ads and the stars and the movies keep inventing and keep wanting us to do to supposedly bring happiness are not going to do it. It's going to happen. The only thing that's going to change is when the blind man receives his sight and has faith in Christ Jesus and immediately goes from darkness to light, and it'll happen to you one morning. You'll be sitting here, and then you'll see it all. In your spirit and in your mind, you'll see it all. You'll say, wait a minute. I have been climbing the ladder of success for 50 years and got to the top, only to find out it's leaning against the wrong building. What happens now? Preached a funeral yesterday and didn't know hardly a soul there, three or four. And I was very nice. You'd have been proud of me. Coat and tie, looking smooth. And we get toward the end of the thing and they knew it was coming. Because I said, you knew I was an evangelist when you invited me. And heads got to ducking and feet got to shuffling. Two people in coffins, I think, moved in the other room. They knew. And here I go, just like I'm telling you this morning. Death in this world is 100% for everybody. It's not when I'm going. If I'm going, it's when I'm going. And I looked those people in the eyes and said, one day I or somebody like me is going to be holding a service for you. Make no mistake about it. And when that day comes, what are they going to be able to say? I mean, bringing out the sports trophies where you were all universe and all that, I think they're worth about $15.95 down at the pawn shop now. The bowling trophies go for $6. But you could go out in the field and shoot more partridges out of the air. Nobody cares. The fact that you had the biggest store in Blueville, nobody in the world cares. Won't matter. The fact that you left more money in the First National Bank of whatever town, you'll just be the richest man in the graveyard. So boy, wasn't he popular. Yeah, but boy, isn't he dead. Everybody loved him. It won't matter now. The only thing that's going to matter on that day is, did you see what Bartimaeus with blind eyes saw? That he was in darkness and he needed light. That the one who could provide him that light was coming down the street. And this was the last chance in his life that he would ever have the opportunity to call on him for help. He would not be that way again. And he said, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if my friends get behind my back and laugh and say, well, Bob got religion. Yeah, he did, and you're going to get hell. And I don't care what they kid me at work and what they say, and if I want to take 15 minutes and lunch and read the Bible instead of eat, let them laugh at me. Go ahead. It's payday someday. My day is coming. Once that light cuts on and you have the knowledge within yourself and you know that you know, that you know that you know that you know, you as sure as looking dead into the eyes of Christ Jesus, one day, as you are that you're looking in the mind today, a peace comes over you that money can't buy, friends can't give, and the world knows nothing of. That's why the Bible calls it a peace that passes all understanding. I visited a lady in the hospital this week. She was saved sitting right over there because of you coming down here and holding these meetings. And she came and listened and accepted the Lord Jesus. I got in the hall of the hospital and her son stopped me, a nice looking kid, and said, Beaver, you don't know me, I'm so and so. I said, oh yeah, I know you. He said, I just got one question. And I said, what? He said, did my mama get saved down there? I said, she sure did. He said, that's all that matters. Went in the room. Darkness. Cut on the light. Saw the lady and said, just stop by to pray for you. They don't want you to have any visitors, but I was going to pray for you outside the door when I saw the sign, but somebody said I could come in, so they brought me to you. How are you doing? Now here she is with cancer. Just had an operation. And instead of being pitiful about her condition, she said, good news, Beaver. I said, what is it? She said, because I'm in this hospital bed and going through what I'm doing, two people who I love dearly are going to start coming to church. Please look for them. And please try to get to them because I love them. And this is all that matters. And I gave her a kiss and said, you really did understand the program, didn't you, baby? You understood, didn't you? Doesn't matter what happens here. We're all right. She said, that's right. I kissed her goodnight and left. Then Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. The way in the Bible means the road. That's evidence of his salvation. Was in darkness. Couldn't have himself. Called on the only one who could help, was offered that help freely, received that help joyously, and then immediately followed Jesus. That's the plan of salvation. Bartimaeus understood. I can't wait to have a look at those eyes he got. Whenever a preacher tells you and you just shrug it off, this may be your last time by the side of the road begging. This may be the last time that the Savior walks by you. You say, I can go back to church. I didn't say that. I said, this may be the last time the Savior walks by you. Please understand, he only calls so long, and then he says, is that the way you want it? Bye. Not mean, not hateful. He just says, is that the way you want it? then I'm going to let you have it that way, and I wish you the best of everything. But you won't see me again. He's gone. So the morning may be the morning made for you. I don't know. But I'm going to leave you with a little poem I put in this Bible years ago under these verses. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path. That hidden boundary between God's patience and His wrath. So your choice is light or dark, heaven or hell. Get with Sinatra and do it your way, or get with Jesus and do it His way. I think I'm right. You probably think you are. I can only tell you one thing. You better be. You better be. So this morning, if you know not the Savior, if you know not the light of the world, if you know not He who said, "Just come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My burden is light, it's not heavy. I'll fight your battles for you, and I'll care for you now, and I'll care for you for eternity. For I never loved anybody as much as I love you." And when a Savior offers you that, only a complete fool who understood it would turn it down. That's your choice. It may be your last day. I'd get right today. For just like Susie, Chuck Bennett's mother, we held a funeral for this week. You never know when it's going to end. I wouldn't put it off if I were you. Gambling's one thing. Foolishness is another. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can see through the eyes of a blind man and learn lessons from one in poverty and darkness. And we can learn from blind Bartimaeus that there is a light that we can share in, and it's you. For you are the light of the world. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the light, and no man cometh unto the Father but by you. So if there be those here this morning where the Spirit of God is tapping on their shoulder one time and pulling on their heartstrings one more time, Lord, I pray it wouldn't be the last for them, but I would be in such fear if I was them that it was the last time I'd do something about it. Please give them the power right where they sit to just turn it over to you. Say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm in darkness and I need light. Please light up my life." And I promise He will. Be with those in the hospital we know that are sick, those who are in bereavement because of death, those who have had some tragedies in their home and it's affecting them financially. Be with them. Help us all to do Thy will. Be with little Bradley and be with Frankie. Guide the physicians as they work with little Bradley's teeth this week, Lord, that he can come down and be with us shortly and we can show him our love again. Thank you for a wonderful day, and for those who accepted you, thank you that this is the best day they'll ever know, for it's this day when they stepped out of the darkness and into the light of salvation. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen and amen.